And that's me. Good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we can't thank GoNetSpeed enough for allowing for a commercial-free program. It allows us to spend more time with you and talk about topics a little more deeply and just get the information out to you that you know we think you might find interesting when it comes to the technology world. If there is another organization out there also that would like to support this, feel free to reach out to Kathy Brown here at WTIC because it's great. It's just an awesome thing that GoNetSpeed's doing. And if others want to do it as well, that's a wonderful thing too. So we've been talking a little bit about Adobe.
Yes.
And how their new EULA says if you put anything in the Adobe cloud, we get to read it.
Yes.
Including stuff that you may have an NDA on where you can't disclose
Right.
So how do these IT companies think they have the power to do that? You know there's plenty of attorneys that are sitting at Adobe that knew that if this EULA goes into effect, there's going to be all sorts of information that's going to be scraped by them that they are saying they can read that is under an NDA.
Yes.
And then when they get breached, guess who's in trouble? Well, you are because you use their product in their cloud. You're the one that breached the NDA.
Right.
You're not Adobe.
Right. You are the one that had the agreement with somebody else to keep that work private.
Right. So if you're putting it in the Adobe cloud, Adobe's saying they can read it. If they get breached, a la Snowflake, because you didn't use 2FA in your account, it's on you for sticking it in the cloud. Now, the problem, too, a lot of this stuff is kind of forced to be in the cloud.
Right.
But this is a big problem. And we put a link up there for you guys to read about this new EULA change of Adobe. So if you're using Adobe Cloud, you're putting it in the cloud, they can read it. They said they could. You've agreed to it. So even if you didn't even realize you clicked on I agree and you had NDAs, you've broken them all by default. You've broken them all.
Yep.
So hopefully you're not going to be tried in New York City. We'll cover that later. So you've broken all the EULAs, all the NDAs there. And I don't know what to tell you, but thanks to the cloud, that's what happened to you. And this whole idea of cloud computing.
Right.
I'm not against the idea of cloud computing. I'm against the idea of them having access to your stuff.
Yes.
So
and presuming control over it in every way, including legal terms. I mean, come on.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's where we've gotten to. And of course, in other news, we've talked about Windows Recall.
Yes.
So Windows Recall is a brand new feature, supposedly of a Windows 11 Copilot Plus enabled
computer. Right.
Turns out you can have Recall run in a non-Copilot Plus computer. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And here's what it does. This is somehow Microsoft thought you would want this. Windows Recall takes a screenshot every 5 seconds of what you're doing and loads it to an encrypted space on your computer. Every 5 seconds. No matter what you're doing. Whether you're doing personal banking or business or whatever it might be, they take a capture of that every 5 seconds and put it down to your computer. And somehow they thought this was a good idea. Well, there's a Wired article again about this. It's a great article talking about the fact that there's an ethical hacker already out there that has already built a tool that can show you how easy it is to actually take that data, right, and abuse that data. I don't know what they were thinking at Microsoft as to why they would think this is a good thing. Now, there's been more stories that I've been reading about this. It turns out that there's possibly an enterprise flavor of the operating system that does this by default so that corporations can watch what their people are doing to make sure they're being productive, right?
Right.
So you've got all this work at home, and everyone's being forced to go work back in the office now because somebody must have caught some idea, something. a lot of these companies are forcing you back into the office because there's tools out there, just so you know, that corporations can – it's legal spyware, right? It's their computer, and there's software that used to be called Spectrasoft that we talked about numerous times for many years on this program – that would actually spy on your computer, capturing every keystroke, every email, every Word document, and put it in like a DVR for whoever wants to watch it later. they were purchased, and now there's a product called Telemind, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Does the exact same thing. And of course, Microsoft, it seems, has built in this technology as well. And now they're making it a quote unquote feature, right? So it's almost like one department said, hey guys, we have this technology that corporations are paying for anyways. Do you guys want to make it a feature of our AI so that we can actually have it sitting on their computer? And somebody said, yeah, that's a great idea. It's not a good idea. If you're a company, you want to track somebody's work to make sure they're actually working for you and not just jiggling the mouse, fine. Watch your person if you don't think they're doing the job.
Yeah.
But to do this and actually act like you can't have the data easily stolen too, which is, again, Microsoft is not a really good, doesn't do a very good job of protecting our data. They even, I think we talked about it, they make $20 billion a year on cybersecurity, which is obviously securing their own stuff.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So we'll put a link out here for you guys. You can actually, this guy actually built, along with being able to show you how to capture the data, this researcher also built a website where a recall database can be uploaded and instantly searched.
He's
made it easy for you to go ahead and steal somebody's recall data and post it online.
Yeah, and have everybody else in their brother browsing it.
Right. So it's interesting that, you know, they have a new security posture that they're trying to focus on, and then they create these things, and they're supposed to be getting paid right now based on their focus on security. And when this data is breached, who's going to be on the soup line there? I don't know. We'll put the link up there for you. But Adobe, Microsoft, all these companies are going this direction. We need some more security like the European Union has with their GDPR.
Yes.
And I know, unfortunately, in our Congress, there's just not enough geeks to have them understand that.
Right.
But that's what we need. We need a few more geeks to run for Congress rather than attorneys. Attorneys are fine people, but they're not geeks. And unfortunately, you don't know how the sausage is made, and it's not made very good. So let's go to Tony in Farmington. He wants to talk about cloud. Hey, Tony.
Yes. Morning. How are you?
Morning, sir. Good.
I have a situation that might be a little bit unique in that I've had a number of phones crap out on me where they got to the point where they were very, very hard to charge even, or almost impossible to charge, okay?
Yep.
And I also had a Gmail account that I didn't want, but I have an Android phone, and I guess one of my nephews said, you need a Gmail account. So.
Yeah,
you do.
He was asking questions when he set up the Gmail account, and I was just making up answers in terms of date of birth and whatever else they ask
you. Did you call last week?
I did, but I think I'm not sure what topic we were talking about last week. It might have been cloud related, but I wanted to relate what's transpired over the last week or so.
Yeah.
So, anyways, before. A phone crapped out on me way back, going back a year and a half ago. I'm not even sure when it was.
Yep.
I wanted to try to put the information that I had in the phone that was going bad on me into the cloud.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do it. So I stopped at Verizon, and I knew my Gmail account, but I didn't know my password. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure, if memory serves me correctly, that the girl was able to put the information, all my contacts and texts and all the other information that was in that phone that was going bad,
mm-hmm.
into the cloud without my knowing my password. Okay. I knew my Gmail account,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know my password. Does that make sense to you?
It's possible, but it doesn't seem correct to me. Because,
okay, well, anyways,
but go ahead.
She claimed that she put myself into the cloud. Okay. I could not recover it because I didn't know my password.
Right.
But anyways, I landed up, never getting it out of the cloud in my Gmail account. And I landed up with the replacement phone by putting most of my contact information back in there manually.
Yikes.
Into the replacement phone. A lot of numbers were entered.
Yep.
And what I did for my own backup is I took a cassette recorder while I still could read the old phone, because I could still power it up if I concentrated hard enough and put the plug in a lot of times into the jack, which wasn't really working properly.
Uh-huh.
And I read through all the contacts and put them on my own cassette.
Wow. Okay? So you went from digital to analog to
right.
Reading it out.
And I still have those cassettes with all the contact information. Okay?
This is an interesting approach.
All right. So now I'm using a new phone. I added in all these contacts. And yep. Now the new phone I'm running into trouble with because it won't power up and et cetera, et cetera. So I ended up going to Walmart, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm in a situation now where I have a lot going on where I need to have a cell phone, you know?
Of course.
And I bought a Samsung phone that was free if I bought the card for the service. So I said, yes, okay, let's do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I have two different cell phone numbers, but the first cell phone doesn't even hardly work, okay?
Yeah.
So I told the girl, I want to recover all this information that's on my old cell phone and put it on the new cell phone.
Yeah.
But the problem was that the old cell phone was down to about 1% or 2% of power.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, we have to get the old phone charged. So I was in Walmart for about 6 hours.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Six hours?
It took quite a while to get the old phone to charge, okay?
Yeah.
And we finally, after all this time, we got it up to about 50% or so. Which
my
she was
going
to need that. She was going to need that phone powered up in order to do the transfer of all the information onto the new phone.
Yeah.
At that point, there she downloaded some application into my new phone that was going to allow the transfer.
Yep.
Somewhere I have the app name written down, but I don't have it in front of me. Unfortunately,
that's okay. It's a utility to transfer the data. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So there's an app there, and then she proceeded to connect two cords. We had to take the power cord out of the out of the old phone.
She connected them together.
Right.
Yep.
And she proceeded to try to transfer it that way.
Yep.
It was not working. I assume it probably wasn't working because the jack that's in the old phone is worn or whatever.
Yeah, you're tough on your jacks, man.
I guess. I
hope the new phone is a wireless charger.
Well, anyways, no, it doesn't.
Oh, for crying out loud, Tony.
Not that and it uses the USB-C connection.
Yeah, that's good, but you're going to have the same problem. That wears out, too. I'll tell you right now, I almost don't even want you to use that Samsung phone. You need a wireless charger, and I bet you it does charge wirelessly.
Yeah, pretty much all the Samsung phones over the last few years do.
Yeah, so try to figure out how to get the wireless charger for that Samsung so you're not plugging in that USB-C, because clearly, I don't know what you're doing, but you're smashing it in there, man.
Well, okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
But what the girl said was that, even though we weren't able to do it with a cable connecting the two phones, she said there was a way to do it over the internet.
Yeah.
So she then proceeded to load all this stuff into the new phone by the internet.
Good.
It almost seems when I'm going through the contact list that every once in a while I'll be looking for something that I thought should be in there on the new phone, and it's not there, even though the vast majority of the contacts were transferred. Okay,
that's normal.
So my question is: so now I have a new Gmail account because I had to get a new Gmail account for her to either activate the new phone or to do this transfer.
Right.
And my new Gmail account, I did actually write it down. I know what it is, and I know what the password is because I wrote that down.
All right. Well, what was the password?
computer talk.
There you go. That's a good password. Computer talk exclamation point. There you go.
So what I'm wondering now is, where exactly does my information exist in the cloud?
Probably at Google.
Assuming that the girl that going way back a year and a half ago was able to put my stuff in the cloud without my password.
I don't think she was able to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
No, so I don't think so.
That's gone. Yeah, that's gone. But my new information from my phone that went bad recently.
Right.
But the girl was able to, over the internet, download it into my into my new phone.
Okay. Yep. So she did something. I would say it's on Google somewhere under your new email address is where I would expect it to be.
Okay. And this app that she used to transfer the information, would that information also be on that app somewhere?
No, that was just a transfer protocol that they were using to do the point-to-point connection with when you had the wires connected. She shouldn't even have bothered that, considering the problem you were having with charging. Obviously, it wouldn't transfer data if it won't transfer power. So your stuff is probably under your new Gmail account. Make sure you turn on two-factor authentication in that account. Make sure you do have that written down, and because it's important. And looks like you did it, Tony. But go and find out if you can do wireless charging with that Samsung phone, because you should be nowhere near plugging in a wire. You should be using wireless charging like a stand at night. Put it next to you're on your nightstand, have your phone sitting in a wireless charger. That way you're not plugging it in and jamming that thing up all the time, and you'll have better luck.
Okay. And the Samsung, I'm looking at the back of the phone. It's got a little sticker on it.
Yeah.
The Samsung model is an SM, pretty small print, SM-S146VL, and then in parentheses, GP. So I'm sure it's one of the cheaper Samsung phones because it was free as long as you were buying the activation card, the monthly activation cards.
Well, yeah, and these companies are giving away even some of the best phones for free because they want your monthly cell bill.
Right. And I'm not signed up for any type of a contract either. This is month by month I need to buy the card. You know, if I don't buy the card, I think after so many days I lose the phone number. And
oh, my whatever. Goodness. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, this one doesn't seem to have wireless charging from what I'm reading. So this was a cheap one. But there are many wireless carriers that'll give you flagship phones for your purchasing the service. So, you know, this is one of those things where I don't want you to go through making another change, but be careful when you plug this thing in, man.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that the Apple phones have the best plug and jack for recharging. You know, where it's reversible. It's 180-degree reversible,
well,
either way.
USB-C is too.
Right. Yeah. And the USB-C micro is the one that I had the major problem with because that is,
teeny.
It only goes in one way, you know, mini.
The mini, micro. Yeah, the mini. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So I guess in the meantime, I'll be more careful plugging this thing in. But
there you go.
I don't know. The old eighth inch, two prong, the old eighth inch cylindrical plug and jack seemed to be working for years, you know. So
wow, it was one of those.
No. I'm saying that thing
in old school
for years.
Yeah.
Now they have this assortment of plugs and jacks that
nope. I know
there's problems. You know.
I hear you, Tony. But you got through it. Gentlemen. Be gentle with it.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, Tony. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
It is funny. Where's my data going? You know, I make these transfers, and that's the kind of thing with the phone. You want to make sure the question is, do you know it is being backed up into the cloud? Right. Because a lot of this thing is you've got that encrypted phone. Right. So nobody can get into your phone without getting into your phone without a PIN or a thumbprint or something like that. But you're backing it up to the cloud. And if it's not encrypted in the cloud, which I think they all are nowadays, but if you don't have a good password to that account, now you're getting the data is being accessed that way. So keep in mind that you need to have a good password on your email. 2FA should be enabled, and because that's your life. Everything you do is through email these days. Every account you're working with is through email, and certain free email systems, even the Gmail started by saying they're going to read your email. Now we've got Adobe telling us you're going to read your work. I wouldn't be surprised if Gmail is still not reading your email in some way to try to train its AI, right? I mean, I'd be shocked if it wasn't. So maybe consider a professional email box like a Proton, which is out in Switzerland. It's not even in the U.S. And that way you know it's encrypted. It's encrypted with a key they don't have.
Yep.
And now you've got more security on your email system rather than having this free stuff. You still need these Gmail accounts and stuff for your phone to work. No way around that. But Just keep in mind, you should go with a more professional system. So, Dennis, you want to bring anything up before we go to the break?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring up HP's CEO.
Yeah.
Has been talking about printing.
Oh, well, it makes sense.
It's been down 20% since the pandemic.
People don't print anymore since the pandemic?
20% less.
Huh.
I think it's because there are a lot of them are working from home. And they don't want to eat up their own toner or ink. I don't know. But it kind of explains how they've become a little bit more militant, shall I say,
HP?
about you know, things like third-party cartridges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They have been losing some business. And we all know that their main revenue stream is printing. Right. And the more you print, the more money they make.
Right.
Now, they sell printers. So, you know, you would think that they would make money just selling a printer, but they don't.
No.
They make their money on the ink and the toner.
Right.
And in, you know, all the other ancillary stuff like, you know, drum kits and maintenance
the consumables.
Kits and other consumables, right.
Yeah.
And he's been complaining about that.
So what's he going to do about it? What's he going to do? Is he going to offer us some reason to print more? I mean, that's killing trees. That can't go over well.
Well, no, but they have been coming up with different strategies to maximize revenue. And that's the kind of stuff that we've been talking about over the last couple of years.
Right, how to rent
they rent the printer to you outright.
Right.
Also, we know that they've been bricking computers that are printers that have had third-party cartridges in them.
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing that they're doing.
That's pretty draconian.
Now we know what the motivation was for all of that.
20%, because you're all at home, guys. You're all at home, and you're not going to print any corporate reports out while you're at home.
No.
No, come on. You're not doing that. Only when you're in the office. That makes good sense. But yeah, I'm really curious. So that they're going to keep renting the stuff to you. And again, renting it to you obviously is more expensive than owning it, right? Anytime you rent anything, it's more expensive than owning it. Same thing with any kind of cloud-based phone system where they rent you the phone for $25 a handset in perpetuity. You're buying that phone system over and over and over again when you rent it. They used to have stories on TV about, you know, the old little old lady in the middle of Kansas who's been paying AT&T $20 to rent her phone or have that maintenance contract on it. And she's literally spent, you know, $30,000 on her phone.
Right.
You know, I used to make fun of that. Now it's a thing. Now we've been conditioned to do it.
Yeah.
Wake up, people. Did you listen to Dave Ramsey? I'm just kidding. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. Four lines wide open. We have much more time to speak with you guys now. Thanks to GoNetSpeed and their sponsorship of the program. And we can't thank them enough for doing that for us so that we can spend more time with you, more time talking about tech issues, more time dealing with your problems more in depth. So we appreciate their efforts. We'll be back after this quick break.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNetSpeed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. We have four lines open for you guys. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. If you got any tech questions you'd like us to try to tackle or give you some advice on or send you hopefully in the right direction, happy to chat about them. I know it's a lovely Saturday morning here on so we're fighting the weather. But if you're out there, you have a question, feel free to get online. It's definitely an open period. Usually around this time, it's just
the lines are jammed up.
Yeah. So I understand it's weather related.
And I know you guys, Dennis, I think is a big fan of this one, the smart things that are so dumb. One of my light bulbs in my office, it started to fail and just went into pairing mode, nonstop blinking.
It's
so smart. It's like I need to be paired to something to operate properly, so it just blinks and blinks and blinks and blinks.
Yeah. The smart bulb.
And it
smart
won't
bulb.
Pair.
No, it won't pair.
It won't pair?
It won't pair. I tried everything and anything that, you know, the flip the light switch five times and
pray to some
digital Mark Zuckerberg in the sky and nothing. I was like, all right, I'll throw that light bulb out, which is brings me to my next thing. Like, LED bulbs used to last forever.
They're supposed to.
But the chips that control the smart part of it do not.
Right.
That is true.
Right.
And even the paint covering the white, when it goes away, it makes them turn blue.
Yep.
We noticed all the lights are off. Yeah, they're off now on the highways.
I liked the purple. Was I the only one?
Yes,
you were. Like, it added a little bit of flair to the highway.
Now, this isn't Las Vegas. This is Connecticut.
We need some excitement on the roads besides a deer jumping in front of you. Yeah, so drive carefully if you're out there this weekend.
There's way too much excitement on the road, Joey. Come on. Are you driving the Connecticut highways?
Yes.
There's way too much excitement on the road.
Yeah. Drive safely out there, people.
Please. So, yeah, the LED lights.
I love it. Smart bulb, dumb.
Yep. That's the technology we're dealing with. So what do you got there, Dennis? What do you want to bring up?
Well, I've got a mention of a Frontier Communications hack.
Oh.
It ensnares 750,000 customers, and among other things, Social Security numbers have been stolen. I have to assume that this affects some people here in Connecticut.
Why would they have Social Security numbers for Frontier?
Well, Frontier?
Yeah. Why would they need your social to make sure they do a credit check to make sure you can pay for the interwebs?
Possibly. I don't know. You're asking me questions that I can't answer.
Sorry.
And that's another of the problems that we face.
Right.
Companies just go ahead and expand their digital footprints, whatever they feel like.
Right.
And they end up sucking in more information maybe than they even need, and then it gets leaked.
Right.
And you are the one that pays for that.
Correct.
They don't.
They're going to call up and say, hey, the bad guys are going to say, hey, this is Frontier. Your social security number ends in XYZ. And so now you think it's real. There's caller ID is going to say Frontier on it. They're going to know your social. They're going to know your account. And they're going to say, we've experienced a hack. They're even going to lean into the hack that occurred.
Right.
And then they're going to fish you into something else. Right.
Yeah.
You know, due to this hack, now your Windows operating system is corrupted. Please call this Windows Microsoft number, and it's a fake number, and you're going to call the bad guys.
Yeah, that brings up something else.
Yeah.
That I think we haven't mentioned before is that when there's one of these breaches, not only do the bad guys have your private information that they can use to trick you.
Right.
One of the ways that they will trick you is to say, right out loud, hey, you were one of the people in this breach, and we're come reaching out from Frontier to help you with
it. Right. You even got a letter
from
Frontier.
They actually use that.
Of course. Right. That's not even it's obvious they're going to do that. So when you go in and talk to the man on the street, I'll be able to be more vigilant. No, you won't. The only way you're vigilant is by ignoring any call from any company, by assuming, as you all should assume, that these companies don't care about you. If you operate under that cynical premise, I know it stinks and you don't want to be that cynical, but these companies do not care about you. None of them. Period. None of them. They don't. They don't care about you. You name the company, no one's going to call you and say, hey, Dennis, we've noticed we've had a breach here. Can we help you? No. They're not going to call you. So just hang up. And then if you do feel you want to call, then you call those companies yourself after they've done their thing.
Yeah. So you got to be more vigilant than vigilant.
And ask yourself, and Frontier, you got to ask yourself, why do you have social security numbers, man? Are those, those aren't employees then, are they? Those are customers.
Well, 750,000. That can't be employees.
I don't know. Yeah. That does sound like a big number.
Yeah. It's gotta be more than that.
So we'll put the link up there for you guys to read.
And, by the way, the hackers themselves were from Ransom Hub that we might have heard of before.
Yeah.
They say they have information on 2 million Frontier customers.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And Frontier themselves is only copping to 750,000.
Are they asking for a ransom?
Doesn't say that they have or haven't.
Mm.
We assume that they have.
Yeah.
But the Frontier had to disclose it to the state of Maine.
What is it about the state of Maine? Have
it's
you noticed
because
that?
Because of their disclosure requirements.
They're the only state that has this. It's always Maine.
Yes.
Maine, thanks to Maine, we know about this stuff.
Right. Maine has come closest to giving us a GDPR.
Well, thank you, Maine.
Well, I appreciate that. But why? What about 49 other states in the District of Columbia?
Or,
where are they?
Why is it not a federal law? I mean, why hasn't Blumenthal got on this, for crying out loud? This would be one you could stand in front of a camera every day.
He must have been at some point.
I don't know.
Maybe he gave up.
I don't know. But it's like Maine keeps coming to the rescue, and it's tremendous over there. Thank you, Maine. Otherwise, we wouldn't know.
Literally true.
And you got to ask yourself, why is that?
There are uncountable numbers of these breaches that we hear about in the news,
right.
And it is only because of the Maine reporting requirement.
Right. So again, is it incompetence in our legislatures to actually have? Again, I'm a libertarian. I'm small government. I don't want a big government. But for crying out loud, these are obvious things. This is like what a small government's supposed to do: alert you to these types of things, or at least force companies to make those disclosures obvious.
Right.
Right. By keeping it hidden. Well, there's two sides of it. If you keep it hidden, then the bad guys can't leverage, but they do still leverage it because they have your data.
Correct.
So they can't act like they know about the breach in their trick. They can simply call you as if they're completely correct. They're completely forthcoming. They can act like that. And this should be a disclosure requirement across the board.
Right. And disclosure should be happening because it's good business, not because a government tells you have to do it.
Well, businesses don't tend to do that. I mean, from what we've seen, even some
Frontier,
of these hacks are like a year
Frontier
old.
Frontier has customers.
Right.
They need to take care of their customers.
They should.
And the way they do that is to tell them stuff.
Well, the other thing, though, too, Dennis, is that because the incumbents sometimes are the only game in town, again, thanks to our legislatures not allowing for competition, they don't have to take care of your customer.
Yeah.
Now, thanks to companies like GoNetSpeeder who are coming in and actually eating their lunch, which is lovely, all of a sudden prices are coming down against all the incumbents and we're actually seeing action. So for so many years, these companies did not have to take care of their customers because we didn't matter.
Right.
Right. Look at electricity distribution. We can't figure out a way to give that to some other folks besides one company in Connecticut. There's no way we can be smart enough to say, you know what? Like, you know how you adopt a highway? This is my idea. You adopt a highway to pick up the trash. Let's have companies adopt the delivery system within their region. Let's tear it away from places like Eversource so that you can actually have competition. Maybe Wallingford, who's gotten in the electric business for so long, could tell you how to do it right or cheaper so that distribution doesn't become the most expensive aspect of our bill. Without competition, you have no way to do anything about it. So I digress. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to John in Weathersfield next. What's happening, John?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I love your show. Listen pretty much every Saturday.
Oh, thanks.
And really great that GoNetSpeed is subsidizing the whole show now. That's great.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We don't have to listen to California.
Well, they knew that was coming, though. Sorry, it was too easy. That was a softball.
I have to call him for a winning lotto number.
There you go.
Yeah. So listen, you had a caller earlier who was wondering about credit scores.
A good source to get a good credit score.
Yeah. So I have two credit cards. Both of them will show my credit score. My mortgage company shows my credit score.
Wow.
And annualcreditreport.com will show you Experian and TransUnion and the other one credit scores, but you have to fill in a form that requires your social security number. And I didn't see where it's a safe webpage. So, that might be an issue. I don't know. I didn't see the little lock that usually shows up and it doesn't.
A lot of the browsers aren't doing that anymore. They're not because it's become so passe. I mean,
yeah, even the bad guys are paying for the certificate anyways.
Well, yes, the bad guys are doing it, but when 90% of the websites you go to now are, you know, HTTPS,
right, then you know it's
secure. it doesn't really help to see the lock anymore. And I can probably find a couple articles about that for you. They just think it creates confusion. What they're doing instead is marking sites as
insecure.
If they're only HTTP.
There you go.
I wouldn't go too much by that.
Cool.
That makes sense. So, yeah, again, you know, if you have a credit card, any credit card, it should show your FICO score. So just wanted to pass that along.
Sounds good, John. Hopefully Stefan can. I assume he's got a credit card, but maybe not. Maybe he's just working in cash. He's off the grid.
My credit union will display my credit score. It's Dutch Point Credit Union. Nice. Not to give them a plug, but I think if you have accounts at a credit union, by its very virtue of its name, it will show your credit report.
I love it. There you go, Stefan. Lots of options. Thanks, John.
Okay. Have a good one, you guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Jack in somewhere in Connecticut. He wouldn't give us his town. What's going on, Jack?
I'm in Hartford.
Ah, there you are.
Yes, and I probably haven't talked to you, Eric, in 5 or 6 years, maybe more. I don't remember when GoNet Speed started.
About half a decade
now.
It
was still Bob and not Dennis, and I'm very happy for the sponsorship that you got.
Thank you.
I was one of the first 100 customers.
Oh, nice.
Because they started their trunk line, their initial trunk line, over by the UConn Law School, St. Francis Hospital, and they went out Fern Street, and I lived at the very bottom of Fern Street.
Cool.
I saw the guy stringing wire, so I asked him, and it turned out it was a perfect, seamless operation from point one to the finish.
Nice.
Never broke down.
Yep.
$50 a month for life. That whole, I was part of that whole thing. I even did a focus group at that place in Farmington that does focus groups.
Oh, neat.
And the two honchos were there, the president and a marketing guy, because they wanted some marketing ideas from. Well, so I'm 25 years older than anybody else in the group.
Yep.
But we went around the table to introduce, and everybody was a customer of GoNetSpeed, so it was quickly revealed what the game was. But everybody was very positive about it, as was I.
Awesome.
But then 2.5 years ago, I chose to sell my giant West End house, which was way too large, and quit being a landlord, and moved around the corner to a 12-story condo building on Woodland Street that's called a Comcast bulk building. Which, I mean, they did all the wiring.
Right.
230 units in the building.
Yep.
It's a great building, by the way.
Yep.
And they were they supplied all the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And then they offered a cable package along with that on the HOA, through the HOA, Homeowners Association. And that's been now not quite two and a half years. Mm-hmm. It's been, so they advertise it as a 500 Mbps.
Yeah.
And I do my, you know, my speed tests fairly regularly. I have an iPhone, an Android tablet, and a Dell, you know, Microsoft laptop that I use as my desktop.
Yeah.
And the speeds are totally constant down. Up is not, it's not reciprocal, you know what I mean?
Doesn't
they don't match, but
right.
I don't do any uploading, so it doesn't really bother me.
Yep.
And the cable package has, you know, NESN, yes, Fox Sports 1, not a huge cable package, but so the monthly bill for that on my HOA, because they have 230 customers in the same address, is $92.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Quite reasonable for good speed Wi-Fi, reliable.
Yeah.
And the service, they went out once during a storm, and I looked out my window. I'm on the 12th floor. I looked out my window, and there are like 5 or 6 Xfinity trucks lined up waiting to fix it.
And that's all good.
And they did. So I would not. I've given it 2.5 years, and I have little bad to say about Xfinity. Maybe it's the situation that, you know, I'm a captive audience in a larger building that they tend to take care of because
it's easier
for them.
Yeah. So if your homeowners association says, "Hey, you know, let's get another provider in here," and your cost goes from $90 to $30, wouldn't that be good?
Uh, Well, that also includes the cable package.
I know. I'm just saying. Well, like,
yeah,
let's say
sure,
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
If somebody comes along right. and offers that, but you yeah. know, I don't think anybody offers that combo.
Maybe
of,
not.
Of high-speed fiber Wi-Fi to and a cable package.
Right. No, I understand.
Don't think anybody
I'm just saying that type of thing could be coming down the line as more and more folks look to get alternatives.
One would only hope. All of us would only hope that.
Yeah.
But my initial thing is that GoNetSpeed was, to me, the pioneer in this whole
yes.
area.
Yes.
And did a fabulous job. And their reputation, you know, everybody that calls you so says, I wish they'd come to my neighborhood. I wish they'd come to my neighborhood.
But, right.
I was in the first neighborhood, and it can only testify to how good it was.
Yeah. It, thankfully, they were able to kind of break down the incumbent's complete wall.
All true.
That
all
was here. True. They took that risk, and we all should be thankful
right.
that we have this choice. And without it, we'd be paying, all of us would have $200 internet bills still.
I could not agree more. And they somehow wangled a spot on the polls. You know, it's underground in some areas up by the hospital, I think. But generally speaking, they string wire on poles.
Yeah, 40-foot pole for crying out loud. You should be able to stick a little wire on it.
Well, I agree.
That's what it is.
That's perfectly true. Anyway, I just wanted to
yeah.
to report in as one of the initial
that's cool.
GoNetSpeed proponents and customers, and that, you know, that Comcast has been doing a better job, at least in my situation.
Well, they have no choice to, right? Because their GoNetSpeed's right
well,
behind
I
them.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, they've
agree.
Also got quite a basket of paying customers all in one place.
Yeah, that does make it.
And
sure.
that means they can make a lot of people happy with one fix when
right.
things break.
All and, true. And yeah. they, you know, they were getting the bulk discount, you know,
right.
which is a plus for,
very cool.
you know, living. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that's my report.
Thanks, Jack.
And I hope I don't have to call you for another 6 years.
Oh, come on. Anytime, sir.
No, I listen, regardless whether I have an issue or not. I listen every week.
Sounds good. We appreciate that. We're warm and fuzzy. All We're right. friendly to the callers.
Absolutely. You right. certainly are.
Thanks, Jack.
See All you right. later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. It's like, we're not like Howard Stern. Get off my phone. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open on this lovely Saturday morning. I understand that completely. As we wait for your calls, you want to talk about anything, Dennis?
Well, I thought I'd bring up some what I consider positive news.
Hey, positive computer news.
In the world of AI. I mean,
sure.
we're
hoping
talking
for that.
We're talking about the dangers of AI
yes.
and information getting out where it shouldn't
right.
go.
We're both hopeful that AI is going to be a positive thing.
And it can be.
Right.
Firefox
yep.
is looking, or Mozilla is the company that makes it. But
right.
they're looking to add AI components to the browser
mm-hmm.
in order to add accessibility features.
Oh, nice.
For instance, if it shows a picture on a web page, it might filter the picture for somebody who has, say, visual problems
mm-hmm.
and present the picture in a better way for that person.
Nice.
And the AI contains the logic to analyze the photo that was, you know, retrieved from a website, figure out how to make it presentable to that person. And I just think it's really nice. I mean, that's the kind of thing I want AI to do.
Right. Even maybe explain what the picture is, because
right.
the AI might know now what it is.
It might even narrate what. Yes, you're right. It'll analyze the content and narrate that aloud to the person that's reading it.
Right, and it may not need the metadata that would be in there. Let's say you copy and pasted something and you called it an apple, but it was a grape.
Yeah,
the AI might be smart enough to see that it's purple.
Yeah, and say, wait a minute.
And it's really small.
This is a photo of a grape.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah,
so
it would
that
be.
That would be great AI.
So that's, you know, that's something that I would like to see a lot more of.
Sounds good. We'll put a link up to this story, and yeah. that's great. We do need more of that.
We definitely do.
Let's move on to your calls. We're going to go to Wallingford and Ed. What is happening, Ed?
Hey, I'm calling back about the GoNetSpeed. I talked to you, I guess, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And still not available in Wallingford. I checked with the electric division they said that GoNetSpeed hasn't signed the contracts yet to use the poles.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe why. You guys are like the best town for power. They should get right in there with you. I don't know why they're not. I have no inside information whatsoever. I hope they do sign it soon so you guys can enjoy the fiber service they offer.
But I'm my mouth is drooling to get go NetSpeed and get rid of Comcast.
Yes, we understand. I don't know what it is. Maybe you want to talk to your mayor. I don't know.
Well, I think that I did talk to the electric division. I talked to the guy, the engineer that does this.
Yeah.
And he says everything is in their hands waiting for them to sign the contract.
Gotcha. Well, they are busy. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're running around putting up fiber like one-arm paper hangers, like they used to call them.
Well, there's some company running around Wallingford putting up a lot more fiber optic stuff. I hope it's them.
It could be, and or it's the incumbent trying to say, uh-oh, I better get some fiber up here now that there's going to be some competition in the area.
Well, one of the incumbents putting out fiber is Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
They've deployed it in a lot of different towns so far.
Right.
Well, Frontier put fiber on my street 2 years ago.
Oh.
I did contact them to get a price, and they say, oh, it's not available to your address.
Yeah, I had the same issue.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, they put out, hang tags on everybody's door saying, mm-hmm. we're coming, and here's where to go to see how to sign up.
Right. Never again.
Nope. Well, and I can't get an answer as to when, where, how it will ever materialize. I've even checked with my first selectman.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, nothing. Nada.
Well, anyways, before I go, rah, go NetSpeed.
There you go, Ed. We like that.
Yeah.
It's a new saying. We'll just use it.
And I'm so happy to see that they're connected with your program now. It's such a great thing.
We do appreciate it as well, but thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, Ed. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, we were early on, happy with the fact that there's competition in the state, and GoNetSpeed was willing to take on the incumbents, and it wasn't easy. I'm sure it wasn't easy. You're battling legislators that'll actually say, no, you can't use this part of the poll or that part of the poll, and they're defending, the incumbents, and of course, the incumbents are the ones cutting the checks.
Aren't the polls segregated as to which foot section?
Yes.
Can have what kind of thing on it?
Am I wrong about that? You're not wrong. There's 1 foot of every 40-foot pole that has something called municipal gain.
Oh.
And that 1 foot pole can be used by municipalities. Now, that would be for like what's happening in New Britain, where GoNetSpeed is doing the fiber. They would use that one area. But there's other areas of the pole besides that 1 foot area that could be utilized to run fiber. It's 40 feet for crying out loud. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, there's.
We don't. Our polls don't look like some city in Mumbai. They're pretty well organized here, right? I mean, let's use what we got. Let's go to Bob in Southington. What's happening, Bob? Real quick. I know we're literally running out of time. Believe it or not.
Okay, really, two really quick ones for you. The first of all, is there any burning need for me to switch to Windows 11 yet?
No.
Okay.
Burning need, no, but eventually you will want to switch.
Right.
But sure. Does not have to be done now.
All right, and the other quick question is, I have a 10-year-old HP laptop, and I'm wondering how to really, really delete files like tax returns and stuff like that from before the thing dies.
You can do a factory reset.
Mm-hmm.
We can post a procedure for that. One of the options during that process is to do a secure delete of the existing data.
Ah, okay.
And it will do... I'm pretty sure it will do a DOD standard.
DOD level, huh?
3-triple rewrite.
Nice.
As part of that process.
Not quite a bleach bit?
No. But it will definitely add to the amount of time that it takes to do the reset. But assuming you're not going to be using the computer, you're going to be selling it or junking it, then it doesn't really matter.
No, it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. All right. And there is the sound. Wow. Look at that, Joey.
My suggestion for anyone who's getting rid of a laptop or an old PC, that they're definitely junking. If they're not donating it or green recycling and just junking it, go straight Office Space on it. Get a hammer. Because I guarantee that piece of hardware has frustrated you at some point in your life.
It has.
Just go at it with
a
hammer.
But wear safety glasses, right, Joey?
Yeah, wear some safety glasses and go at that hard drive with a hammer. Guaranteed never to be recovered.
There you go. There's Joey for you. One of our original producers going back, 25 years at least. I want to thank you guys for joining us on the program on this lovely Saturday. I want to thank GoNetSpeed for producing. I should thank them first as far as supporting us. Joy for producing. Mike G for posting everything over on Facebook and Twitter. And Dennis, of course, doing his best to post it over on ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next Saturday.
And thank you, GoNetSpeed.